It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me to talk about another fantastic NFL draft prospect is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. We are going to be discussing Mac Jones, the quarterback coming out of Alabama. Adam, are you ready to dive into this?
Yeah, I feel like we should have talked about Mac Jones a while ago, but there's so many prospects to talk about, and this is going to be a good one because he's really, really interesting. I feel like I say that about every player we do, but like it's a really interesting draft class. Like, all these players are super interesting, but like Mac Jones, a lot of people think, okay, he's not good. He's a product of Alabama's offense and their system and their receivers, but that's why you watch the tape, and that's why you go full, you know, in-depth with these players, because there's more to it than Mac Jones just throwing to a wide-open Devonta Smith and a wide-open Jalen Waddle and a wide-open Najee Harris.
There's so much out on social media these days, Adam. Like, is he propped up by the skill players that were around him? Is he the real deal? So before we jump into Mac Jones, if we're talking about the real deal here, Adam, you got to be heading to Collectible. This is a brand new partnership for FTN. If you go back to the catalog, me and the CEO for Collectible sat down the other day, chopped it up, discussing what they're all about. So head over there, download that episode today. But you got to be going to Collectible, man. Tons and tons of fantastic sports memorabilia. This is a site that allows fans to buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles. Sports cards, memorabilia, signed baseball bats, all kinds of stuff. Share prices starting at just a dollar, so you are able to access these high-end collectibles in the market. Download the app right now, head to the website, Collectible.com/FTN for all the details. Use the code FTN for a chance to win a limited edition Topps Project 70 card signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 in sports cards prizes. All right, Adam, let's dive into Mac Jones here, man. Looking at his production, walking into Alabama, he was a three-star prospect. The guy stands at 6'3", 217 pounds. Age 22, and a lot of the analytics jump off the page, man. I mean, deservedly so. Guy is coming off a fantastic season. 96.1 college QBR, that's 100th percentile. His yards per attempt were stand at 11.2, 97th percentile. Now, you look at his breakout age, obviously that's later. We don't really care about that as much about quarterbacks as versus like wide receivers and such, but that's because the guy was only a full starter for this last season in 2020. He threw 4,500 yards total. Again, 41 passing touchdowns, 14 rushing yards, and this has been discussed out on social media. You're looking for mobility. That's not exactly in his bag. What jumps out here about Mac Jones for you, Adam?
Yeah, so obviously, I think that's the takeaway when people are analyzing Mac Jones is, oh, he threw Devonta Smith and these guys. Is he really that good? I'm not saying he's the same type of player coming out of college, but like Tua had the same system and everything, and that's what we've seen with Tua in the NFL. He struggled without a lot of separation from his receivers. So like, if we're just immediately, you know, making that case for Mac Jones, why didn't we do it for Tua? I know Tua was like regarded as a number one pick in the draft prior to his injuries and stuff like that. I get it, but like Mac, you don't throw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns and not have some sort of talent. You just don't. Like, mm-hmm. It'd be a much larger red flag if Mac Jones had this talent and the system around him and he sucked. Like, that would be like, all right, you're he wouldn't be obviously even, he might not even be talked about right now. But he still put up those numbers, averaged over 11 yards per attempt. The completion percentage was great. Like, yeah, you're going to see a lot of the tape where Devonta Smith's running free, Jalen Waddle's running free. But I think Mac Jones is one of these players where you have to really look at the film, too. Like, a lot of people are you team film? Are you team analytics? I'm team both. But, yep. Like, Mac Jones, I feel like you have to be team both because the numbers are great. But a lot of people, like I said, they're going to say, okay, how good is Mac Jones? And he has his limitations that we'll talk about. But Mac Jones is not like purely 100% a product of Alabama. Like Mac, there's a reason Mac Jones is being regarded as a top 20 pick in this draft, and it's not just because he played with Devontae Smith and company at Alabama.
I don't disagree, man, and I am firmly team both as well. I mean,
you
we
have
talk
to
about
be team both.
You have to be. I mean, you kind of left it open ended, like especially in this instance. No, for every single player, you need to be team both, because there are instances where we look at guys on paper and we're like, okay, he did all these great things, and then you turn on the film and you get an added layer of context about some of these analytical boxes that these players check. You know, like, you'll look at this and be like, oh my God, he's amazing. And then you turn it on and you're like, okay, well, some of this translates, some of this doesn't. What does he succeed at? Or what are areas he can get better at? Like, it gives us more context trying to figure out the puzzle pieces. It's like if you were to try to put a puzzle together and said, okay, I'm going to take one of my hands and cover up one of my eyes, and I'll use my other hand to sit here and put the puzzle piece together. It's going to take you longer to do it, and you might miss a few steps. So I think it's really important to be marrying these two together. And when you look at Mac Jones, as far as we're talking about different statistics for him, in 2019, the guy was 11th in adjusted completion percentage. That jumped to first in 2020. Amongst all quarterbacks with 120 or 125 or more dropbacks. And, I mean, Adam, like, the guy jumps off the page regarding, like, if you look at deep passing, he was 19th, and then this last season, 4th in deep adjusted completion percentage. When he was pressured, his completion percentage is when he was pressured, and you kind of see this, we'll kind of get through some of this when we talk more about his strengths and areas he can improve, but he was 24th and 23rd as far as adjusted completion percentage. Now, he threw for a lot of touchdowns and was really good as far as taking care of the ball, not taking too many shots. Now, he did have some interceptions that were dropped. You know, nothing you can do about that. It is what it is. But, like, we can't add another layer of context for interceptions that could have, would have been. But he was 6th and then 4th this last season in pressured passer rating. So you're looking at just the numbers. The guy's an impressive prospect considering all of that. Just regarding, like, outside of the counting stats that he put up, there are some impressive marks here, Adam. But what do you make out of all that before we move on?
Yeah, I just think, like, I totally agree. Like, it should be film and analytics for all players, but I think especially with Mac Jones, because those numbers are great, like you said, the number one rank and adjusted completion percentage. But, like, when I went back and watched him, we'll lead into his strengths and weaknesses, like, there were things I saw that showed me that Mac Jones is, at the same time, he's not just somebody that, like, if you put in another quarterback in that system, you're not getting the same results, because Mac Jones just had poise. He had control of the offense. He's a smart player. Like, there's traits that show that Mac Jones should be a top 20 pick in this draft and could be the next, you know, I don't know, franchise. I guess it would still be a franchise quarterback. Is he going to have the ceiling of Fields and Watt and Wilson and Lawrence? I don't think so, but I think there's a path for Mac Jones to have a very, very, very serviceable NFL career.
Exactly. And I mean, we're talking about things that he excels at. I think that the first thing that jumped out to me was, yes, he has got quiet feet in the pocket. Like, he does not ever seem rattled. His ability to step up in the pocket versus pressure when he does feel it. He's able to go through his progressions, and he does it quickly. There are other subtleties and nuances to his quarterbacking play. Like, you will see him multiple times throughout the game log. Like, whether it's pump fakes, whether it's moving his eyes and moving defenders, all of these different things. And you could say, okay, well, that's every NFL quarterback. No, that's not every NFL quarterback. And it sure as hell is not every college quarterback going to the NFL. So, especially for a guy that we're not looking at these just amazing athletic traits. Like, Mac Jones is not going to jump out the gym. He is not going to be the guy that throws it over a damn building. He's not going to be the guy that just wows you as far as tape. Like, how fast he runs, and all these different other things. Those things count even more when you're talking about a prospect like Mac Jones. That all factors in. Like, if he's going to succeed and hit his ceiling, not like just an overwhelming ceiling, but hit his ceiling in the NFL for the type of player that he could be, These are things that he is going to need. He is going to have to be an above average or elite processor on the field, at directing coverages, at ball placement. He shows that he does have, like, it's not the quickest release in the world. He does have the ability. Now, I will say his arm strength is good. It's not great. It is not a guy that you're ever going to turn on the tape and sit here and be like, oh my gosh. Like, wow, look at the fastball on that guy. Like, but the ball placement is good. Now, we'll get into some other areas where I think it's like, there's a little bit of concern there. But you're looking at a guy that if he is going to succeed and pay off, like we're talking about it, him going in the top 20 of the NFL draft. If he's going to pay off at that, he's going to need all of these things in his bag, and he's got a lot of them, Adam.
Yeah, so these quarterbacks, right, these elite quarterbacks, the best of the best at any times in their career when they've been at their peak, they've had a combination of crazy arm talent and arm strength and touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of quarterbacks that have both, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, you know, as good as it gets. He has a combination of both. Like, I talk about him all the time. Josh Allen is great, but he still needs to work on his touch. Like, he's got one of the best arms, maybe the best arm in the NFL, but he doesn't have the greatest touch at this point of his career. Like, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks with both. And Mac Jones doesn't have both. His arm talent, arm strength is subpar. It's fine. It's not overwhelming. It's not really a strength. But what he does have is fantastic touch. There were so many plays I watched where Alabama would run a wheel route with either Najee Harris out of the backfield or like a pick play wheel route with Devonta Smith. And Matt Jones just put it there perfectly with that touch, with that feel. Like, he's got good timing on his passes. Like, he's just a really intelligent quarterback, and he knows how to make certain throws, but there will be limitations with his arm strength. But I do think that's a plus for him. You also mentioned how calm he is in the pocket and under pressure. So, like, he just seems like he's just has an understanding of where to, like, what throws to make, what throws not to make. And there's a lot of value to be had in that. Like, is Mac Jones going to throw these incredible tight window throws? No, probably not. Like, he actually, according to PFF, he was like 20, I think he was 21st in big time throw rate, which is like, you know, the cream of the crop type throws, you know, tight windows, you know, great, just ridiculous passes. Like, he didn't make a ton of them, but he also didn't have to. Like, we'll talk about weaknesses. I don't think the fact that he played at Alabama with these receivers and all this separation is a weakness.
Like, no, I don't either.
He still orchestrated one of the best offenses in the history of college football. Like, you have to have some sort of talent to do that. I don't care if you're throwing to Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle and these guys. Like, you have to have some sort of skill and knowledge and understanding for the game of football. And Mac Jones has that immensely. He really does.
I think that he's a really good prospect. And I think, like, all the Alabama stuff, there are times, and we'll kind of get into it as we transition to areas that we do have a little bit of concern or some holes in his game. There are times where you saw some wide receivers adjusting to some throws that, like, okay, does a less talented wide receiver make that play?
Yeah, especially the deep passes.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Where do they make those plays? But the other thing about it is that, like, you're seeing him do things to either manipulate coverage or with his ball placement. That also, we can flip the coin, too. We could say, okay, does a little bit of a lesser quarterback as far as an arm talent make that type of throw, and do they even make that play? Like, there were a few plays where I'm talking, like, and I'm blanking on the game that this happened, where he went outside the numbers and threw it to the back of the end zone, and the ball placement was fantastic. And you're talking, okay, it wasn't a 50-yard throw, it wasn't a 60-yard throw, whatever, what have you, but was it 25 or 30 yards, and was it fantastic where he put the damn ball? Yes, absolutely. So I like Mac Jones in not only what he offers as far as intangibles and in between the ears and his transition to the NFL, as far as we talk about some of these guys and prospects, and I think that it's every different player falls into a different bucket as far as, like, okay, do they need to get into an NFL system? Do they need, like, half a season or a full season to kind of sit and and let the game slow down just a tad? Or to be able to get into an NFL coaching staff and have them kind to, you know, tutor this guy up and get him up to speed. Like, some of that is required for some players. I don't think that's required for Mac Jones. Like, I think Mac Jones could step in and be a starter in the NFL in week one with the ability that he has in between the ears to sit there and diagnose defenses, his ability to make his way quickly through his progressions. Like, I'm watching on some of these games, he's getting to his third and fourth reads, and quickly, I might say. You know, so I think that he is an NFL-ready quarterback. I can't tell you that the ceiling is definitively as high as all these other guys, because it's not. I mean, just by an athletic trait standpoint. Now, if he got into a perfect, like a West Coast timing system that's allowing him to get into a rhythm that's pass-heavy and things of that nature, could that happen? Yeah, that could definitely happen. The guy could put up some really good box scores. But as far as athletic traits, and we're looking at transition to the NFL level, I don't put his ceiling as high as the other quarterbacks in this class. But I also think the floor is just as high, if not a smidge higher, versus some other guys like say, a Zach Wilson. Ceilings are not even comparable there. But is his floor way higher than a Zach Wilson? Yes, I think so. And I think that Zach Wilson's a guy that you can sit here and look at range of outcomes and say, maybe some of the things we're seeing out of him, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be ready to start week one. Or if he does, it's like, okay, well, I mean, should he really? Versus Mac Jones, I think it's unquestioned. Like, I think that he could start for an NFL franchise in week one. But what are your thoughts?
No, I totally agree. I think, and we'll talk about landing spots. Like, I think there's a really good chance he does start right away, depending on where mm-hmm. he goes. Like, we know Trevor Lawrence is starting. Again, as much as I love Justin Fields, I'm hoping, like, the Panthers are straight up for him and he starts. But I have no doubt that Justin Fields can start. It just depends on if he goes to a team that has, you know, if he has to compete, right? If he goes to the Eagles or somewhere he has to compete. But I have no doubt that Justin Fields can start. And I think Mac Jones can start right away, too. Especially because, like, you played at Alabama. You played in these high-profile, highly viewed games, high-pressured mm-hmm. games. And the guy played in the national championship and was ridiculous. Like,
he played good defenses, too. Like, Georgia's no freaking slouch, dude. Like, and he played well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those are all pluses for me. Like, I understand mm-hmm. people say, oh, it was 1 year of elite play. He was a senior. Like, that's fine. But, like, it's Alabama. He's not playing over Tua. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yep.
So I love the fact that he played, you know, in that system, in that or on that team under that pressure, and put up ridiculous numbers. Like Alabama's offense last year was legitimately, it was them and LSU in 2019, like two of the best offenses in college football history. And Mac Jones was the orchestrator.
It was crazy to watch that offense. And then even if you were to try to understand, like, in your mind's eye, like, okay, what could it have been also if Jalen Waddle had stayed healthy for the entire season as well? But leaning into areas that we think that he can improve in, Adam, what stood out to you regarding that with Mac Jones?
So the obvious one is there's limitations to his game, right? He mm-hmm. pretty much offers nothing in terms of mobility, and that's fine. Like, you would like your quarterback to be able to get out of the pocket and make plays, but that's just not going to be part of Mac Jones' game. We mentioned the arm strength. It's fine. It's not anything to write home about. But yeah, that's like the biggest takeaway is he's not gonna, you know, create plays out of the pocket or extend plays very often. So you definitely want him on a team where he's not gonna have to scramble or you know, adjust on the run or stuff like that. I also think I noticed his numbers and his production. Like, he has good. Like, he's calm and collected under pressure. But there's a lot of times where I'll randomly watch him and he's throwing, like, leaning back and off his back foot. And, like, that didn't get him into trouble when he's throwing to Devontae Smith on a slant who has 6 yards of separation and stuff like that. And I know I just mentioned how I'm not worried about, like, how I think people are overhyping the fact that his receivers were so open. But I think he should just make sure in the NFL level, like, when there's more tight window throws to make, he's not leaning back, throwing off his back foot. It kind of reminded me of Nick Foles. In that aspect, so something to maybe just kind of work on. And will he be able to make those tight window throws at the NFL level? I think we saw it with Tua last year. You kind of want him in a system where you're getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He's making, you know, quick throws because he was super, super accurate in, like, the intermediate and short parts of the field last year. Whether guys were open or not, like, he put it perfectly in between their numbers. So that's something. That's a couple things I think he needs to work on. But like the mobility, not going to work on that. Like that's not going to be a thing in his game at any point of his NFL career.
No, but to talk about that, like if you're looking at him versus previous year prospects and other guys, where like we're talking about statuesque quarterbacks or pocket passers, more like. I don't think that he's a guy. I think he has enough functional mobility to avoid the pass rush and things of that nature. Like, he's not going to be a scrambler, but does he have the ability with what he has physically to avoid the rush, step up, and not just be, literally a statue and just say, okay, I'm going to get knocked over if I face pressure, or if a guy comes around the edge, can I avoid him, like, with one or two steps? That I did see him actually do. So
you don't think he's Philip Rivers in the pocket?
I don't think he's necessarily Philip Rivers. Like I think that I would, and then we're going to kind of get into comps and stuff here. I would put him more in the Derek Carr bucket, mm-hmm. in the sense that like he's not going to be a rusher. You're not getting anything out of him regarding that. But is he a guy that has enough pocket mobility to where you're not just going to, like, bring somebody around the edge and he's toast? No, I don't think though.
Like, nobody's open on first and 10, he can go and get, like, 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, or like Drew Brees. Like, he wasn't, like, ever a rusher and stuff like that, but does he have enough, like, wits about him and the ability to move around in the pocket to where he can avoid the pass rush? Yes, that's where I'm at.
And the one thing I'll say is, it's not really a huge concern because we're not expecting him to take off with the football a lot. But my goodness, somebody teach this kid how to slide. He dives, dude. He dives forward when he's not even reaching for extra yardage. Like, dude, you're gonna get hurt. Like, just slide or go out of bounds. Like, what are forward full extension for?
It's so funny you brought that up, man. But the things that kind of popped out to me besides that, I think that really we're. Some of the limits are in his game, like on his deep ball. Like, I think that he's got enough juice on the ball to sit here and operate. And we're talking about fits and stuff like that. Like, I think that as far as like a West Coast system, something that's going to utilize screens, as well as a lot of timing throws, 20, 30 yards down the field. If they're asking him to juice it up and to go deep down the field, there were times, yes, he got the completion. Yes, he got the long play. But you're noticing his wide receivers, because of the talent there at Alabama, they get separation, they get down the field, and you see his wide receivers slowing up just a second. Like, you see them slowing up in their route to sit there and account for the pass that's coming their way. So it wasn't like dudes like gunning it down the field 60 yards and he's hitting guys in stride and they never slow down in their sprint going deep. So I think that has to get brought up here as to say that, like, if he hits a ceiling, he needs to be in an offense that's not going to ask him to do that. Does he have that in his bag that, yes, he can push it down the field? And if he has, like, a stretch Z that has the ability to get separation? Yes. But if we're talking about big plays at the next level, I don't think that, like, that should be in his bag in an offense to where, you know, even something like say, and he's not going to land here. But a place like Tampa Bay, where they're consistently, it's a part of their offense, they're taking shots down the freaking field. I think that he needs to be, like I'm talking about, in a timing system, in a West Coast system, or at least one that has integrated those concepts or more of the base than some of these other vertical passing games. Those are the things that kind of stand out to me as far as looking at Mac Jones at the next level. And I think that he is going to be reliant on the players around him to an extent, because he's not the guy that has the best fastball. He doesn't have the best deep ball. He's not a guy that is going to, if he elevates the talent around him, it's because he becomes one of those elite processors on the field. It's because between the ears, he's able to do things, and the offensive play caller that's married to him also accentuates what he's able to do. And I know that sounds crazy, but we can't assume rational coaching at the NFL level. We see time and time and time and time again and again where coaches take quarterbacks, they put them in systems, and it's, hey, square peg meet round hole. And you see quarterbacks go to other systems and better coaching staffs, and they're like, hey, yeah, we could definitely use you. We could actually
Tannehill.
Yes, exactly. Ryan Tannehill, man. And a bunch of other quarterbacks where you're just like, wow. Like, why the hell did we see this two or three seasons ago? Okay, that's because the coaching staff was terrible. And I know it sounds crazy, but I do think that Mac Jones is going to have to land in a system or with a staff that's going to accentuate the things that he has in his game that can help him at the next level, that can prop him up and allow him to direct an offense that is a high-scoring offense. So we're talking about landing spots here, Adam. Where do you think he goes, and who is your comp for him?
I mean, if you've been listening to the pod over the last month, there's no surprise where I think he's going to go. I mocked him to this spot, 19th overall, Washington football team. Just makes too much sense. And I think that would be a good spot for him, right? It's a team that isn't really based off, you know, a high-volume passing offense with a lot of deep stuff. It's Terry McLaurin in the intermediate timing routes, and it's passing to the running backs. And I think Mac Jones could be perfect in that system. I think he could and probably would start right away. So that's the spot for me. But if not there, the Patriots would have made sense. But now with Cam Newton being extended, that makes it a little – it's still possible, but maybe not as popular of a landing spot. It's funny because my comp for him was like Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr. I think his ceiling is like a Derek Carr type career, which is fine. Like, Derek Carr is a very, very, very good quarterback. Is he elite? Absolutely not. But he's a top, 12, 13 guy. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, with like the other comp, like Garoppolo in terms of the measurables, he's, you know, similar height, but he's got a little bit weight to him. Doesn't really matter. No, they're not running the football, but. It's funny because I think he would fit perfectly with the 49ers, who there was rumors about whether they wanted to move on from Garoppolo. Now it sounds like they don't, but.
But do you think they draft a guy that they view probably in a similar light?
I don't think they're going to draft him, but I just think that you're talking about style of offenses for him. That would be perfect. That would be awesome. I struggle to find a spot other than Washington because I think it's so perfect. We talked about 19 Same. And 20, right? 19 and 20, like Bateman and Mac Jones to the Bears or Washington football team. We love both those picks. I feel like if we were the GMs for those teams, we would just take whoever we didn't take, right? Like, kind of like we did on the mock. I think the Bears would be an okay one too, but I'm kind of all in on Washington at 19 overall. But there's been reports and people saying like his floor is 8th overall. A lot of people think he could go top 10. I don't see it. I would much rather have Justin Fields and some of those players, but I mean, we see it. Teams trade up all the time for the quarterback that they view as their guy, and we could see them trade up again here in this draft. So we'll see.
I don't see Carolina, and I don't see San Francisco taking him. And this is in here's
no, Carolina.
Here's,
if Carolina is trading up to 3, they're taking Justin Fields.
But here's the reason why I don't think that he is going to land with either one of those teams. One, my comp for him, I love the Carr comp. I'm with you there. The other guy that I see is, I think he's Teddy Bridgewater, but with a little bit better deep ball. And he will take deep shots. Teddy won't. But I think that he has a little bit better deep ball than Teddy. But this kind of leans me into it, man. All these quarterbacks that we're talking about here. If you're Carolina, if you got Teddy already, why the hell do you draft Mac Jones? If you're San Francisco, you got Jimmy G already, why the hell do you draft Mac Jones?
Yeah, like Justin Fields has the ability to be a complete superstar difference maker. I don't know
what,
if Mac Jones
What would Mac Jones ability. Offer those offenses in terms of a difference or the ability to change up that offense or add a different dynamic? You're basically drafting the same guy. All you're going to do is get salary relief out of him on a rookie deal. That's it. And if that's the case, why the hell are you making the pick? Like I don't think Carolina or San Francisco make any type of sense. I'm with you.
What about Denver? Because he is very dissimilar to Drew Lock.
He is, but the other thing about it is, like, I think Drew Lock is closer, like, with the brain trust they have there. I think, especially with Shermer being there, I think Drew Lock is closer to a Daniel Jones type that they took in New York than he is to anything else. So I think that they either run it back with Drew Lock or they look at a true upgrade at the position. Right. I
agree, by the way. I think they're literally, if we can get Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, yes. If not, we're just going to ride it out with
Drew or Locke. Trade up for Justin Fields. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And then hope like Courtland Sutton coming back and the receivers that we added, like hopefully it unlocks, pun intended, Drew Locke.
Yep. I mean, dude, so this is all to say that I'm absolutely with you. I think that Washington makes the most sense for him at 19. I don't think the Bears make a lot of sense. The more and more since we've kind of discussed this, that we've thought about this, Chicago, if you're Pace and you're Nagy, they need to make a splash play. They need to do something to sit here and put this team over the top. Apparently
they're about to get Russell Wilson for the last 3 days. They've been on the verge of getting him. So.
We'll see, man. I mean, my whole thing is... By the way. I'm not ruling anything off. Like, I'm not taking anything off the table because we just don't know. And the NFL does some crazy stuff. And you got a coach and a GM right now that are working for their jobs right now. And if they don't take a step forward, like if it's another middling year, they're gone. So taking a guy that we're talking about is not exciting. He's not going to wash the horrible taste in your mouth of Mitch Trubisky out of it. Like, you select Mac Jones in the NFL draft, and they're just going to say, okay, well, the Bears are going to bear. You know? So I don't think that it's a great landing spot for him on multiple different levels, and I don't think Chicago goes that route. I think they trade the pick.
I have a take. What if your New Orleans Saints trade up?
That was the other team I was just about to mention. So I think it's possible.
By the way, we don't have a show sheet that says this, by the way. It's just connection.
It's the fact that Adam and I talk way too much football, too often. I love it, man.
A lot of sense.
Okay, so it does make a ton of sense. And if you're looking at the fit in a team that's ready to win now, okay, so I can see it, and then there are other ways where I don't see it, okay? With New Orleans, it makes a lot of sense regarding if he can go in there and he can compete week one to start with Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. And they see who wins out. His ability to process and his ability and his accuracy, especially in the short and intermediate areas of the field, would automatically like make him a good fit for this offense.
Yeah, Kamara would be dope.
And what they do. The other thing about it is that like he has at this stage of his career versus a Drew Brees, because we still haven't heard the retirement.
Keep forgetting that. He hasn't officially retired yet.
So he has a better deep ball. Now, does he have as good of a deep ball as Jameis Winston? No, but the other thing about it is there are other ways, like in decision-making and what have you, that he's better than Jameis Winston. So the one thing I'll give pushback about the Saints and that landing spot is that we have heard Sean Payton come out, and like when this was a few months ago when they were talking about Patrick Mahomes around the Super Bowl, and he was talking about they considered possibly like drafting him, or at least they evaluated him, and Payton was like, he was legit the best prospect that I've ever watched that's come out in the last 10, 15 years.
And by the way, he was actually talking about Taysom Hill, not Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, my whole thing about it is that we're talking about upgrades, and I get the sense for Sean Payton, one, playing Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston last year, I get the sense that he's looking for a different dynamic for this offense, and a quarterback that has a skill set that could take this offense to another level, that can get back to those years where they were top five in passing rate. Like, I get the sense that Sean Payton's like, I don't want to sit here and be this run-heavy team. I don't want to play slow anymore. Like, that's happened over the last 2 to 3 seasons, and people kind of forget that, like, yes, like, New Orleans was that top five passing offense team for so damn long. Like, I understand that people talk about Drew Brees having this illustrious career, but New Orleans used to be this team that was top two, top three in passing rate every single damn year. And I get the sense that Sean Payton wants a different dynamic and a quarterback that could be transcendent and get back to doing these things. And I don't necessarily know or think that, like, he's going to view Mac Jones as the guy that could take them there versus a guy like Taysom Hill. Does he have traits like mobility and a strong arm to Is that a 0.5% outcome that Taysom Hill were to hit that type of ceiling? Yes. But that's still at least in his range of outcomes versus a guy like Mac Jones. Like, you better write that in pencil if you're writing that in for Mac Jones, because you're probably going to be erasing it.
Now, I think both sides make sense. We know Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, and I think we both agree that Taysom Hill showed enough last year, you know, minus that Denver game where they just nobody threw the football. I think he showed enough that he can run this offense for a full season, and this team can still be somewhat competitive. So, you know, they have other needs too. They need linebacker help. They need another corner out opposite Marshawn Lattimore. So it's not like they're just totally loaded across the board where they shouldn't even think about a quarterback here, or they have to think about a quarterback here. So I think it makes sense. But obviously, like, if they were to trade, like, if you're watching the draft and you see you're like pick 14, 13 or something, and all of a sudden you see the Saints are on the clock, Mac Jones is probably gonna be the pick. I will say that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. So here's the thing, man. We see a quarterback drop pretty much every single season in the NFL draft. A guy that's been talked about, that's been discussed, that's been rumored to be a top 10 pick. If Washington, and I know it sounds crazy, but if Washington doesn't pick him, could he fall into the second round? Or do you think that he is lock set, somebody will trade up, he will go in the first round?
It's not that he couldn't fall to the second round if there was no such thing as trades, but once he starts falling a little bit, someone's trading up. Like, it's just the quarterback position is too important. Somebody will trade up. Eyebrows will probably raise if Washington doesn't take him.
Well, that's my point. Tell me this. If Washington doesn't take him at 19, if they say, all right, we're going to get our other guy, we're just going to go in, we're going to go with Rashad Bateman, we're going to go with a receiver, we're going to go with some other position, okay? Say Washington picks somebody else. Could Washington trade their second round pick? And they've got two thirds. Could they trade back up into the first round? Or, because here's the thing. If they don't take him at 19, who's taking him, Adam? Who's taking him? So is Washington fighting against themselves? Is my point. Like, could Washington select somebody else and then trade back into the back end of the first or something and get Mac Jones at that spot and get a quarterback and another skill player with it? Is that possible? Or do you think I'm just crazy and throwing shit against the wall?
I think it's possible. I think San Francisco is still in play, by the way, to take Mac Jones at, 12, 13? Mm-hmm. 13. Or 12. I really do think they're in play. The fact that there was enough question marks surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo, and I just think Mac Jones fits this offense. I understand they're similar players, but, you know, if you have question marks with your quarterback, bring in Mac Jones. So I just think I'd be really surprised if he didn't go 12th overall to San Francisco, 19th to Washington, 20th to Chicago. But if he doesn't go in one of those picks, like, then you have to say, okay, somebody has to trade up, because you look at the next teams. Tennessee, no. The Colts, no. The Jets, no, given what they're going to do. Pittsburgh? Probably not, but...
Probably not.
Yeah, Jacksonville, obviously, no. Cleveland, no. Baltimore, no. Then that's why I mentioned the Saints at 28. They would have to trade up. Green Bay, no. Buffalo, no. The rest of the first round, no.
Well, so here's my thing, too. Like, with the Dolphins. Say the Dolphins trade back from that top three pick or something. They fall back a few picks. They pick up a few more extra picks. The Dolphins are they have a smart front office. Like, we've seen them kind of move around in the draft. Like, could they make a trade with Washington, and Washington has sandwich picks at 18 and 19, and they grab a quarterback and a receiver at that point? You know, like, with Washington having the third round, like an extra third round pick, could they just say, all right, well, you know, I mean, we've seen some teams do this that have extra draft capital and say, okay, we're going to go ahead and get our guys and we're going to sandwich these two guys together, you know, or somebody like, say, the Colts, who will move around in the draft as well. You know, there are franchises out there that have been known to do these things and looking at their needs, or if they were to fall, you know, depending on what a team wants or where they're at, I think it's possible, man. I think it's possible for Washington to make a move up and to really get both. To have their wide receiver and the quarterback.
If they leave the draft with Bateman and Mac Jones, then they're feeling good. Ron Rivera is going to be excited. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, they've addressed – the defense outplayed itself last year. They've got a good pass rush. They really plugged a ton of holes, so you know they got to be feeling pretty good about what they have on that side of the ball. And, I mean, considering, like, if you were to add another competent pass catcher and a quarterback to this depth chart, they've got an emerging talent in Antonio Gibson. They've got some other secondary pieces.
Logan Thomas have a decent amount of money, too. And, like, I think Ronald Darby's a free agent. He played above his head last year. I think that was – he played better, obviously. I think that was a lot more to do with the defensive line. Like, there's corners – in this free agency class that you can sign. So like,
what? So you have a team like Washington that says, okay, I mean, we won it last year. We could run it back this year. And with Dallas, like with them rehabbing, they got Dak coming back and stuff like that. Who outside of them is their competition? I mean, really, to be honest, like that could be the case that a team pushes their chips to the middle and says, okay, we can make this back to back. We consider it and establish a good base here and build around this.
Yeah, Mac Jones, he just makes too much sense to Washington. That's why
as much as
I wanted to mock Bateman there, I couldn't pass up on Mac there.
All right, Adam, so before we get out of here, we're talking about all these rookies and we're talking about all these values and things that can happen in the NFL draft. We've got to mention here, if you're doing this and you're trying to capitalize on rookie values, you got to be heading to Underdog. Get drafting today. Get into these NFL rooms. As well as, they got MLB Live, dude. No trades. No sending your lineups. Just draft, win money. It's as simple as that. Use the promo code FTN. And if you don't like it, during the first month, they'll refund you up to $100 of your deposit. So head over to Underdog.com. Download the app today. Get drafting. Get having fun. It is time to get ready for the NFL season. As crazy as that sounds, Adam. So you and I are going to be back next week talking about more NFL draft prospects. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.